right, those who are still with me, if you will pick up Judges chapter 13 this morning. Judges chapter 13. Amen. There is something bothering me. You'll have to allow me. All right. I would just not be able to preach when the word of God is crooked. Amen. Hallelujah. Judges chapter 13, if you'd be willing, stand with me as we read and reverence God's word. Amen. Judges chapter 13, I'm just going to read the first five verses this morning. And ironically, it's always nice when God confirms a direction that you have. And, he gives you a little bit of an insight to be an encouragement. Ironically, the subject topic we spoke of this morning in Sunday school due to a question that was asked, and the very passage of Scripture was brought up, where it just kind of, it gives you that little bit of an affirmation saying, thank you, Lord, I think I hit the mark this morning. Amen. Judges chapter 13, look with me, beginning in verse 1. Are you there this morning?
Amen.
Are you awake this morning?
Amen.
Are you with me this morning?
Amen.
Let's look to God's word. It says, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. The Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. The angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Pray with me this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you as always, Lord God, for this precious time that we have, Lord God, to look to your word, for the preaching of your word. Obviously not because, Lord God, my abilities or in whom I am, but Heavenly Father, an opportunity for you to use a fallen vessel, Lord God, even due to my infallibilities, and Father, be able to speak to your people. And I pray this morning, Lord God, as we exalt you and your name, as well as your statutes and principles, that, Lord God, as we look to your word for just a gleaning and an understanding, Lord God, of character. Father, character. Statutes that we ought to hold, Lord, and understand, Father, as your children. Lord, as a representation of you, Lord, as we stand here in your stead, Lord, because obviously, Father, you came. You sent your only begotten Son, Lord God, that would hang upon a cross of Calvary, and through that shed blood and the penalty you paid upon that cross of separation on Calvary's hill, that, Lord God Almighty, we might simply by acceptance go free. So, Father, we pray as we just look to, and we are here because of that blessed salvation that you offer and bring. Lord God, may we glean from your precious word this morning so that we might be more like thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As you're being seated this morning, I'm just going to jump right in here this morning, this passage of Scripture. This morning we find this man, Zorah, of the tribe of Dan. His wife, who is barren, and amazingly, the Bible does not even mention her name. She will go down in history, if you will, as Manoah's wife, the barren vessel of Manoah's wife, okay, who mothered Samson. Verse 3 tells us simply that that an angel of the Lord appeared unto her, and it tells her that even though she's barren, that she shall conceive and bear a son. Now verses 3 and 4 continue by providing this woman, this prior barren woman, with some instructions for the gestational period of this child. The angel of the Lord reveals to her that this child is a Nazarite unto God from the womb. Now for most who already know, but for those who do not, and just a reminder of you, what is a Nazarite? What exactly was a Nazarite? More properly, Nazarite means one separated, One who was bound by a vow of a particular kind to be set apart from others for the service of God. The obligation was either for life or for a defined period of time. There's no notice in the Pentateuch of a Nazarite for life, okay? But the regulations for the vow of a Nazarite are given by days in Numbers chapter 6 in verses 1 through 21. Okay? We're on now, Miss Linda? All right, you're welcome. Okay? The Nazarite, during the term of his consecration, was bound to abstain from wine grapes, literally from every production of the vine and from every kind of intoxicating drink. Now, there's a thought. Amen? He was forbidden to cut the hair of his head or to approach any dead body, even that of the nearest relative. When the period of his vow was fulfilled, he was brought to the door of the tabernacle. He was required to offer a he lamb for a burnt offering, a ewe lamb for a sin offering, a ram for a peace offering, with the usual accompaniments of a peace offering according to Leviticus 7, Leviticus 12, Leviticus 13, and one more important offering found in Exodus chapter 29, verse 2, and Numbers 6:15, an offering made at the consecration of the high priest. He brought also a meat offering and a drink offering, which appear to have been presented by themselves as a distinct act of service above and beyond all of these other offerings, in which the Nazarite was to bring, if you will, as a completion or a fulfillment of his Nazarite vow. He was to cut off the hair of his head, the head of his separation, that is the hair which had grown during the period of his consecration at the door of the tabernacle, and put it into the fire under the sacrifice on the altar of the Nazarites for life. There are Nazarites only mentioned three times in Scripture. We know that Samson was the only Nazarite by name. But we have also understanding that Samuel, as well as John the Baptist, were also Nazarites. So we see the prophecy or preparation of the birth of Samson. Samson was a judge of the Israelites during the time in history of the nation we know as the 450-year span of time identified as the time of the judges. Samson exploits probably synchronized with the period immediately preceding the national repentance and reformation under Samuel. After Samson came Eli, who was both high priest and judge. He directed the civil and religious affairs of the people for 40 years, at the close of which the Philistines again invaded the land and oppressed it for 20 years. Samuel was raised up to deliver the people from this oppression, and he judged Israel for some 12 years when the direction of affairs fell into the hands of Saul, who was anointed king. If Eli and Samuel are included, there were then 15 judges during that 450-year time of the span of the time of the judges. Now, without going into a great deal of historical content this morning, and before I even have a chance to get started on the message, please just allow me to say Samson was obviously designated by God Almighty to proceed by this angel announcing his birth because God had a pretty special purpose for him. Would you agree? Now, I know God has a special purpose for each and every one of us. And in God's eyes, I don't know if any one person's divine purpose is of any more important to God than the next. They are all important. Everything that God has purposed for you is important to Him and for you. Amen. But Samson definitely would be a man of great attention, would you not agree? I mean, obviously God has something in store for this young man. I mean, if an angel of God shows up to a barren woman to announce your birth with details of that which you will do, I would venture to say that it would definitely be an attention getter, would it not? Something important enough, Brother Zach, for God to send an angel of the Lord whom would have been Jesus Christ, by the way, as spoken of in Sunday school, to you to not only announce there will be a birth, but to give you definite specifications in raising and nurturing of this child. Be an intention getter, to say the least. Amen? But folks, even though we see the divine precedence of God of heaven in Samson's life, we all know that Samson had some major issues as well. Amen? Issues I would like to use as examples this morning in a message I have titled, The Facets of a Fool. The Facets of a Fool. From whether God had an anointed, appointed purpose for Samson or not, one thing we can certainly learn concerning his actions is he was a fool. Amen. The Bible uses the term fool in many circumstances. Friend, a fool is a very, very negative term that the Bible uses. We throw around the terminology, the vernacular, in an easy time frame, if you will, and in kind of our modern Western culture, if you will, you call somebody a fool and it kind of rolls off their back. But listen, when God called you a fool in his word, that was a very, very severe, I said severe, negative connotation brought to you. Amen? So picking up the story, after the angel of the Lord appears onto the wife of Manoah, she does what every good wife would do, is, has just been visited by an angel. You say, well, what in the world's that? She runs and tells her husband. Amen? And in verses 8 through 11, we see Manoah entreats the Lord for another visit and says, listen, Lord, maybe just, if you'd be so willing to appear once again and kind of give us just a little bit of information and a little bit more of an understanding of exactly how this is supposed to work. My wife, she's barren, she can't have children. You send an angel down of what she says, to tell her she's going to have a child. And then you give these specifics. But Lord God, in the whole scheme of things, there's a lot of unanswered questions here. Maybe if you'd be so kind, look at it with me in verse 8. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, Oh Lord, oh my Lord. God, a lot of things we don't understand here. Let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us, because we don't have a full understanding how this thing is going to work, of what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. He's here again. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that speakest unto the woman? He said, I am. So God sends the angel to appear another time to Manoah and his wife and then disappears. Now look at the reaction Manoah has in verse 21 through 23. Because once again, identifying the characteristics of deity. Verse 21, the Bible says, But the angel of the Lord, please notice the capitalization, did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. She's not even given a name. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. Please notice the capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah God. And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have shown us all these things, nor would, as at this time, have told us such things as these. So Manoah realizes that this angel of the Lord is God. And he says, God's going to kill us. And his wife perks up and she says, No, sweetie, listen. If God wanted to kill us, he'd done it already. But theologically, okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is yet another Christophany where Jesus Christ is appearing in the Old Testament. Okay, it's not God the Father. Okay, no man hath seen God and lived. Okay, this is Jesus Christ. You say, well, he was born in a manger. Please don't be so shallow. Amen. Okay. So we see that Jesus Christ appears onto Manoah's wife and Manoah and her then the second time and gives deliverance of this message of understanding that they will have a child and this child is a special chosen child. Now before we move on, please notice some crucial words given in verses 24 and 25 before we launch into all this morning. Verse 24 says, and the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and watch this, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. So God is with Samson, friend. Now that's important as we walk through this story, because I want you to also realize as we talk about the foolishness in which Samson engaged in, okay, God was still with him. Does that mean God condoned the foolishness? Certainly not. Does that mean, though, that we can have God's presence with us and still act foolish? Yes, certainly. Amen? Hey? You say, why do you even, like, draw attention to that? Well, for all those people who feel as though, you know, our actions can somehow disannul our salvation that the blood of Jesus Christ have brought. Amen. God doesn't, he doesn't condone. Sometimes he doesn't even tend to tolerate our foolishness. But friend, we can be a fool and still have God. Amen? Moving on. So God's with Samson, and if you, I would say that that's a pretty important aspect of this whole story, okay, as we walk through it. But Samson does not handle, listen, this presence of God well at all. Does that sound familiar? I said Samson does not handle the presence of God well at all. Friend, we can have God, not handle his presence well. Much like what we've been speaking about here at Heritage over the last few weeks or so, okay? Good stewardship of God's presence among men. Amen. I said good stewardship of God's presence among men. Now jump down to chapter 14 and let's dissect this a little bit this morning. I'm not headed in the direction of the power of God working in and through a man who has rebellious ways, although I could. Okay? I'm not headed this morning in a direction of how arguably God ordained and directed some of these actions according to verse 4 in chapter 14 and how God utilized Samson's foolishness to still obtain his will, although I could. No, this morning I simply want to speak about what we can learn from the traits of Samson's foolish behavior and how not to allow it to affect us this morning. Because listen, God put these in there for a reason. And God certainly displayed and showed us how the foolishness of Samson, although God's will was still performed, okay, Samson did some pretty foolish things along the way. That, listen, did God use them? Yes. But I always wonder, wouldn't it have been so much easier for God to fulfill his purpose with Samson had Samson not been such an idiot? Amen. So the first thing I want you to see in this thought of the facets of a fool is Samson was spoiled rotten. Plain and simple. There's no other way to say it. Look with me in verses 1 through 3 of chapter 14. You with me this morning? The Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 14, and Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Remember, they weren't to intermingle with them. Right? They were of those people they were not to be part of. Remember? Okay. Verse 2 says, and he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. He doesn't ask their opinion, Brother Swift. Doesn't ask what they think about the fact that he kind of likes, you know, one of the enemies. He doesn't talk about, you know, some of the culture. He doesn't talk about God's instruction. He just says, nope, I like her. Get her for me. I mean, this is a spoiled, rotten kid. Amen? And his father and his mother said unto him, now watch this, don't miss the statement. Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest and take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, nope. She's the one I want. Get her. For she pleaseth me well. Once again, this is a spoiled, rotten kid. Okay? I mean, notice in verse 3 when the Bible says, is there never? Now that gives me the impression that these poor parents, Manoah and his wife, have been here before with this boy. They did not say to him, is there not? Their statement was, is there never? In other words, you know, we're kind of getting a little tired dealing with you on this thing. Can't you ever get a hold of this manner in which God expects? Amen. No. Hey, you think God doesn't have a patience level? Come on. You think God doesn't have a patience level? You say, well, what do you mean by that, preacher? You think God doesn't get sick and tired of dealing with the fact that you just don't get a hold of things? Amen. He loves us. We're his children. But listen, that grieves him. When he has to, I preached a message many years ago. Hey, will you make God speak twice? Wouldn't it be so much more pleasurable for us and him if when he said something, we'd respond? Or when he teaches something, he wouldn't have to teach us it again? And again, and again, and again. Friend, I get the impression that Samson, he's had this problem before. Okay? His parents are saying, listen, is there never a time where you're going to do this God's way? Not is there not a time where you'd be patient enough to do this God's way. No, they're saying, is there never a time? It's like taking a child into a store and the child's dragging things off the shelves while mama's trying to somehow reason with him on his behavior because he wants certain toys. I watched this happen in mothers. I'm sorry, but I'm telling you, it drives me crazy. Okay? Kids acting like an outrage craze. Wants this candy and wants this and running up and grabbing this off the shelf and grabbing that off the shelf and mama's standing there. No, sweetie, listen, maybe next time. Oh, listen, dear, it's okay. Listen, maybe no, we have some of them at home. Remember last night I got, what? Give me a break. Boy needs a good trip to the woodshed. Amen? Needs to assume the position of looking for ants under the wood pile while daddy helps him with his indecisions. Amen? Spoiled, rotten. Many of you know that I've mentioned this many times before, but when we were raising our children, I never ever remember one time where I set my children down before we ever went to someone's house and said, now listen, we're going to go visit. We're going to go so-and-so's house. Now I want you to be good. Okay, if you're good, you get a piece of candy when we're finished. Okay, Alicia, do you ever remember a time like that? Those kind of conversations never happened, did they? Okay, listen, I expected my children to behave. Okay, they didn't have to be told every time we went somewhere that they needed to behave. They knew that. Amen? And listen, I never corrected my children in public. I didn't have to. Because they knew if they misbehaved in public or they misbehaved at somebody's house, Mrs. Whiteman, just take a look. Nothing needed to be said. Nothing needed to be, you know, didn't have to get hysterical. Didn't have to go crazy. Didn't have to create a scene. Didn't have to embarrass them. But they knew from the look. Guess what? You got to come home. Okay? And parents, may I help you for a moment? I didn't forget about it when we got home. I didn't remember it 2 days later. Amen? We dealt with it when we got home. Privately, correctly. I didn't correct my children out of anger. I didn't make a scene. I wasn't a rage of anger out of control. But consistently, we dealt with the misbehavior. Thank you so much. Okay? Part of the greatest problem that parents have today is their inconsistency. Amen. When something needs taking care of, take care of it properly. Amen. Okay? Don't let it go one time and then deal with it harshly the next. Amen. You want to confuse some kids? You want to raise a rebel? That's a good way to start. Amen. That's free. Amen. You're welcome. Praise God. Friend, Samson was spoiled. He was spoiled rotten. It appears that Samson got whatever he wanted, when he wanted, the way he wanted. And he's doing nothing more than continuing on with this foolishness because that's what he's always been given. Amen? So not only do we see Samson was spoiled rotten, but we see standards in need of revision. I said standards in need of revision. Do you understand that your standards are a developer of your character as a person? Let me say that again. Please look up here. I said your standards are a developer of your character as a person. You show me a person unwilling to develop some standards, some lines drawn in the sand, if you will, and I'll show you an individual struggling in some very basic character-building tools concerning their Christian walk and testimony. Amen. Samson had some very serious standard issues. Look at verse 3. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest and take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Verse 7. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. Friend, when dealing with this issue of standards and need of revision, for starters, Samson had a lust problem. Amen. She pleaseth me well. I don't see where Samson spent time courting this Philistine woman so he could get to know her as a friend first before the thoughts of marriage would ever enter into the mindset. Amen. That didn't happen. When the Bible talks of how she pleased Samson, the Philistines were a wicked and perverse people, friend. Listen to me. Philistines were the forefathers of the Palestinians. They still are, by the way. Okay? I don't think the Bible is trying to tell us that Samson just liked the way she smiled and treated her mama and took care of the housework as a young lady and held great conversational assets. Listen, I don't think that's what Samson's speaking of. She pleaseth me well. Verses 12 and 13, and Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If you can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. And if ye cannot declare it to me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle that we may hear it. Okay? Second problem that Samson had with standards, friend, listen to me, he participated in gambling. So this is, you know, this is the one thing that kind of gets overlooked a lot of times in the Christian community, you know. I mean, you know, we have fantasy football. It's not gambling, like really gambling. Oh, we're just having fun with it, preacher. You know, listen, I don't care whether you're taking tabs on whether or not, you know, the water machine at work is going to break down, or whether you're betting on the football game coming up. See, friend, that's what they did for my Savior's garments. while he hung upon a cross of Calvary and paid a sin penalty for me. Amen? You say, well, you know, I don't necessarily see a, you know, it's just light, listen, a little participation. It's not like I'm addicted to gambling or anything. I know, you know, it's like, you know, I just have a social drink now and then. See, we can stand and we can ardently preach against, you know, having a drink every once in a while, you know, because, listen, that's the witch's brew. But, you know, just betting on a little football game or just a little friendly wager at work, you know, ain't nobody getting harmed. You know, drop by a casino every once in a while, just kind of check out my luck, you know, throw a couple of bucks down on the craps table. Amen. You know why Samson threw out a riddle? You know why he had a wager that he was proposing? Because he had a gambling problem. Why did he have a gambling problem? You say, well, maybe he didn't necessarily have a problem with it. Listen, if you do it, it's a problem, friend. All right, hope I'm clear. Amen.
Yep, thank you.
He had a problem with standards. Well, I don't necessarily see anything wrong with it. Listen, your standards you hold and whether or not you hold them are between you and God, okay? But friend, this compromising idea that we walk with as children of God, where, you know, I can kind of participate here and I can dabble a little bit there, and listen, you have yourself a good time, because one day you're going to stand before an almighty God whose garments were split and gambled upon as he hung and paid penalty for your sin. You explain it to him. Amen. So not only do we see the fact that, you know, Samson has quite a problem, if you will, with lust, but he has a problem with betting and gambling also. Amen. The third thing I see that tells me Samson's standards were in need of revision is, listen to me, he had a poor communication with his wife. Where'd you get that one from, preacher? Look at verse 15 through 17. You still with me? I know, making friends this morning, ain't I? Look at verse 15. It came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me, and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people, and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother. Shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lies sore upon him, she told the riddle to the children of her people. I mean, listen, Samuel's not the only one spoiled. Certainly appears so is she. And watch this. They obviously don't talk. Right? I would say they have at least a severe communication problem. Okay? Because the only talking that they're doing is a deception between one and another. Amen. But say amen. They hold secrets between each other. She's simply looking to deceive him. I mean, it sounds like a real sound marriage to me. How about you? That's what I want out of my marriage, Miss Judy. You know, secrets and a bunch of deception and, you know, conniving and... You know what causes that kind of a relationship? Non-communication. I said non-communication. If you can't talk with each other, you can't walk with each other. Amen? If the only communicating you're doing is one of deception and secrets and lies, and you've got more problems than just the fact that you don't communicate. That's just where it starts. Once again, you show me a home with no standards, and I'll show you a home that has little to no communication in the home between mom and dad whatsoever. And that's a problem. So not only were where they both spoiled rotten. But their standards were in need of revision. Now, we may not be able to expect it much from a Philistine girl. But may I remind you, Samson was a Nazarite. Samson was a special purposed young man of God. Amen. You think the purpose God has for you isn't important? I just got done telling you not one purpose is more important or less important than the next. How do you handle your purpose that God has given you? Amen. Okay. Finally, this morning, just as so many other foolish people you may know, Samson was stuck on stupid reasoning. Amen. I said Samson was stuck on stupid reasoning. Turn back a couple of chapters and we'll look for our landing spot this morning. Chapter 16 with me, please. Are you still here? We're coming in for a landing. Stay with me. Look at the first five verses of chapter 16. Bible says, then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her. Was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither. And they compassed him in, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them on top of a hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterwards that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may blind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. Friend, this just keeps on going, okay? Allow me to bring you to the speed of the story. I walk through the multiple chapters because I don't have time to walk through all the details, but I'm assuming I'm speaking to a people who know the story of Samson quite well, amen? And hence, in the latter part of chapter 14, Samson realizes he's deceived by his wife and his anger, and he kills 30 men in Ashkelon. Then we see, if that weren't so bad, we're seeing the Philistines are the enemy of Israel, so no love lost there. But when he does so, his wife's father gives his wife to his companion. Now, I could stop right there and park on meddling in-laws for a while, but I'll leave that for another day. Yes, thank you, preacher. But you see, in chapter 15, I'm telling you, y'all say well, you're with me, but you're thinking, is he done yet? Chapter 15, Samson has denied his wife and his anger again. Samson goes out and catches 300 foxes, ties their tails together, and places firebrands between them and cuts them loose through the standing corn. He burns the cornfields and the olive vineyards. Philistines, in response, go out and burn his wife and her father with fire in their home. So his battle continues all throughout chapter 15. As Samson slays more Philistines and returns to the place on top of a rock called Etam. The Philistines array themselves against the Israelites in Lehi, and the Israelite men go to the top of the rock of Etam and tie Samson with two new cords and bring him down from the rock. Are you all still with me? Samson is nowhere near finished yet. He breaks the cords, grabs a jawbone of an ass, and slays another 1,000 Philistines in the midst of it. Now here is where the stupidity of Samson continues. Look at chapter 16. Now keep in mind, friend, listen to me, please. Look up here. He has done all this in the power of the Lord. And watch the mistake then that he returns to in his vomit. Verse 1, chapter 16. Then went Samson to Gaza Now, all this is taking place because, watch this, he gambled with the Philistines, okay? He turned around, wins the gamble, but then they turn on him, okay? He gets all ticked off, kills some Philistines, then they turn around and kill his wife and his father-in-law. He gets madder yet, grabs the firebrands, you know, and ties the foxes' tails together, and we know the story. All because of what? Now stay with me. All because of what? He did that which God commanded not to be done in the first place. Is that right? Went down to the chicks down there in the Philistines. Right? God said, don't do that. Get some standards about you. Obey me. I don't want you intermingling with those people. They're wicked. Samson, in his good godly way, said, I don't care. She's a good looking gal and she's the one I want. Right? If he had not defied God and his commands in the first place, he'd not be where he is. Is that right? Okay, I just wanted to make sure I wasn't missing something. I want to make sure, you know, sometimes I'm a little slow, so I want to make sure, you know, I'm all caught up to speed on the understanding of all this, right? Okay? Now, you would think after a while somebody would say, you know what? Ding, ding. You know, once again, all those over 50 will understand what this means. Should have had a V8. Every time I do that, I have about 6 people all under about 40 come to me and say, what does that mean? What's a V8? What does that mean? I don't have time to explain it, but listen, see me later and, you know, gain a couple of years and Google it. All right? But friend, listen to me. Somewhere along the line, you would think that Samson would get the understanding that, you know what, God told us to stay away from those people for a reason. Are you listening? So, as every wise individual would do, okay, let me look for a gal among my people. No, Samson has that stupidity problem. He just stuck there. Because watch, verse 1, you still there again? Where's he go? Gaza. Who's he pick out? A harlot. Right? Verse 2, and it was told to Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither, and they compassed him in, laid wait for him all the night. Now they begin to entice, obviously, Delilah, as if he hasn't been here before. You know what a fool is? You know what a fool is? One who can't learn from mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody messes up. Everybody makes poor decisions. But friend, they have another word for it when you turn around and you go back to the well for another drop. Okay? My wife's going to kick me in the shin because she calls this the S word. But friend, you know what I call that? Stupidity. When you can't learn from your first mistake because it didn't work out well, somewhere along the line, you got to be smart enough to say, you know what? Ain't going to do that again. Samson's not nearly that wise. Okay? I mean, do you not see the stupidity of this great judge of Israel? He says, well, if it weren't bad enough the first time, Brother Swift, might as well just go back for another one. God has been with him throughout his foolish and childish decisions, and here we are after the first mistake and a Philistine woman that deceived him, and he goes right back to the same foolishness that hurt him in the first place. This time he goes down to a hussy named Delilah. Samson was most definitely stuck on stupid reasoning, friend. He exercised the facets of a fool. I hope I'm being explicit enough this morning. We're smarter than this, people. It ought not take twice of getting hit with the same hammer. You know, the other week here, it's been like 2 weeks now. I was out, I was pounding some stakes in the yard, and I slipped up. Okay. So what I did was I turned around, I grabbed the stake the same way, Brother Swift, and I kept on pounding away so I could hit it the second time. No, I said, that was not smart, dummy. And guess what? I repositioned my hand so I wouldn't smack my finger. It still hurt, but at least I learned. Amen? Friend, we need to learn the first time. This idea, just keep going back, doing the same. You know, obviously, hey, everybody says Einstein, do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. No, friend, listen to me. This morning, I want to talk to you about the stupidity of all that. We're smarter than this. We're God's people. I go out and I get myself in a massive load of debt that I can't afford, you know, to buy a car that I just can't seem to do without. Can't pay the payments, and I have to have them come repo it. And I turn around and, you know, give me about 6-8 months, and now I go buy another one. Because, you know, I don't want to buy a clunker. You know, the maintenance costs and everything. Listen, I can fix a car for $500 probably about, you know how many times I can do that for an $800 car payment? You say, $800? Who pays $800 for a car? You'd be surprised. There's a lot of people doing it. $800 for a car. You buy one of these trucks, Brother Swift, those babies are running, what, about $90,000. I doubt you're even going to, and they do this, no, oh, listen, I can't, okay? You don't even want me to chase that rabbit. The point being, Samson doesn't learn. And friend, listen to me, please. Sometimes neither do we. God put this stuff in there for a reason. Okay? Don't you find yourself sometimes falling into the same trap of repeated foolishness, which has cost us so much before, where you're tired and you've tired yourself on practicing stupidity the same way, doing the same thing over and over again, dealing with the same heartache over and over again? I have a wise but very direct word for you to learn. Here it is. It's really deep. Are you ready? You ready? You sure? Okay, buckle up. It's real deep. Stop. Stop. It's just that simple. Oh, preacher, it's not nearly that easy. Yes, it is. Samson was a man that God empowered with divine power. Samson was a man that God had chosen for a specific work. From the womb. Samson had so many assets in his barrage of personal ability, he did not have to resort to throwing a temper tantrum every time he didn't get his way. I said Samson had so much in his ability and his blessing, he didn't have to throw a temper tantrum every time he didn't get his way. Do I need to say it again? You got it? I love you. I mean, we could go on and on for hours concerning the differences Samson could have made if he would have gone about things in a godly and upright manner. He was a rebel. He was going to do things his way. Did God still continue to fulfill his purpose for Samson, or what he had purposed for Samson for his people? Sure. We might not be so lucky. I said, we might not be so lucky. Again, I'm not trying to play God here. Nor, as we say, the devil's advocate. And I understand that God's ways are not always my ways, and his thoughts are not always my thoughts. But God used Samson even in spite of his foolishness, friend. But not because of it. Well, you know, preacher, you got to read God's word. It all worked out fine. I really hope that you're deeper than that. God is sovereign. God will fulfill certain things for you, about you, and because of you. But there are certain things that we make him do in spite of us. God fulfilled the purpose he had for Samson in spite of Samson. Samson could have made it a whole lot easier if he had just followed God. What's the crux of the message, preacher? Well, we could make it so much easier for God if we just follow God. But I also see it with young people all the time. They let lust get in the way. They let their own ambitions get in the way. You know, you have these young ladies, oh, my clock's ticking. My clock's ticking. And you're saying, just wait. God has a plan. Just wait. Oh, you don't understand, preacher. You know what I understand? A young lady who steps too early with somebody God didn't send. And now 3, 4 years, 5 years later, if they make it that long, they're sitting across from me at a desk saying, this is hell by the bucket load, preacher. I never imagined it'd ever be like this. Amen. Let's learn to be submissive and do it God's way. Let's stand to our feet. Facets of a fool. We talked about how Samson was spoiled rotten. Talked about his standards were in need of revision. We talked about how he was stuck on stupid reasoning. Chosen from the womb. Say it all had to be God's plan. I don't know what book you're reading. Amen. So we stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Right? Piano's going to begin to play in a moment. You say, well, thank God, preacher, I'm not stupid like that. I'm not a fool like that. Well, we can probably all make a list, can't we? And how many times do we have to learn? How many times do things have to fall apart? How many times do we have to go back to the foolish well? It's growth, preacher. Listen, we're all going to make mistakes. But we have to learn to learn from them. We have to learn to alter them. We have to understand when something hasn't worked and God's hand hasn't been upon it, now it's time to stop and find God's will. We don't just keep walking down the same endless road, getting further and further away from the source. As you stand here this morning, are you a child of the living God? Because listen, you can't have the wisdom of the Lord if you're not a child of His. Can you take me to the place? Preacher, this was the time it happened for me. I remember the conviction. I remember, preacher, the time that I bowed my head and I begged God to save my soul because I couldn't save myself. I remember the time, preacher, I realized and recognized I don't want to die and go to hell. My sin has to be paid for. My sin can't be where God is. And this is where and when it happened for me. Can you take me there? He says, it's a long way away, preacher. I'm talking visually. Can you take me there? Or do you struggle with the journey to there because because you're not sure if there's ever been a place up there. Are you born again? Are you a child of the living God? Well, we're all children of God. No, sir. No, ma'am. We're all creation of God. John 1:12 tells me, for as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. If what I'm saying this morning is making you a bit nervous, it's a good day for getting in. Love to take the word of God and share it with you, show you how you can know. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time this morning. And I pray that something, Lord God, you've laid upon my heart has been helpful, encouraging, and even challenging. Lord God, in spite of me, I pray that thy perfect will be done. In Jesus' name.